Let's all stand. I want to go to the scriptures, Joshua chapter 6. And amen. This has been on my heart for some time, following kind of where we've been going. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. And it's up on top there if you don't have the Bible with you. Let's bow our heads one more time. Father, truly I thank you for your word. I recognize that as a man, there's nothing I can do. I'm completely dependent upon you today. But Lord, if we can just move out of the way today, I do believe all things are possible. May you bless the reading of your word. May you open it to us. Open our understanding. Help us to see, Lord. Bring us into your faith. Greater depths, Lord. Bless each one that's here. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of rams' horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets. And the reward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. In verse 10, And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then ye shall shout. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think everybody loves that story of Jericho, and we'll get into it some more in a little bit. But I wanted to talk about, first of all, I have no confidence in the flesh of any man. Zero. I have zero confidence in my own flesh.
Amen.
But if we can get the flesh man out of the way, I have great confidence in what the Holy Ghost can do. See, that's the key, is getting out of the way. Getting out of the way. Let go and let God have his way. So Joshua today is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Our leader today is not a man, but it's the Holy Ghost. See, and he wants to be that in each and every one of our lives. So we'll get back to the story of Joshua in a little bit, but I was thinking about how we've been looking at the Word of God and the voice of God, and how we can see that getting results and bearing fruit takes more than just hearing the Word. We can see that. Because some people hear and they don't understand. some people hear, but they're not doers of the Word. They're just hearers of the Word. So we want to be doers of the Word. We want the Word to fall into good ground. We want to be that good ground. So that it brings forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Is that our desire? And we've been taught by the Word of God those things that choke the world, like cares of the world can choke the world. You know, you can be so caught up in worrying about things in your life that it chokes the manifestation of the word in your life. So, so it takes more than hearing. I believe we must have complete confidence in the word of God.
Amen.
And so when I talk about that, I'm saying there's no place for doubt and fear. There's no place for hesitation. There's no place for resistance. But we just simply act on the word of God naturally because we have so much confidence in the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk about complete confidence today. Amen. Now let's go to another story in Luke chapter 7. And these are true stories, we know. Luke 7 verse 1. And this is really also one of my favorite stories in the Bible, Roman centurion. And let's just look at it together. I'm going to start with verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, dear to the centurion, right, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, now, that's important, see, because this centurion heard about Jesus, and he heard about all the wonderful things. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then when Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Praise God. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. I mean, we're marveling that Jesus marveled, right?
Amen.
He marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. You know, in other gospels it says right at that hour that servant was healed. See? So such a wonderful story. I mean, Jesus marveled. What does that mean? You know, the word marveled means to be filled with wonder, admiration, astonishment, as at something surprising or extraordinary. So this Roman centurion manifested a faith that caused God manifested in flesh to marvel. Wouldn't you like your faith to do that?
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to have the kind of faith that when you say something automatically because of that faith, that it's so astonishing that God marvels at your faith? Says, wow, now that is faith. Jesus turned around and said, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. Here's a Roman centurion. Okay, granted, he was unusual because he loved Israel. He was a Roman who loved Israel, built a synagogue. He was generous, right? Praise God.
Amen.
So just think about this for a moment. Let's break it down here. I want to break down the story because I think there's some real nuggets in this that we kind of gloss over a lot. But, you know, Jesus hears, the centurion hears about Jesus. Then he sends messengers to Jesus, and Jesus hears about the centurion. And that he had a beloved servant who was very sick and ready to die. He wanted Jesus to come and heal the man. So Jesus is told that the centurion was worthy, right? The Jews said to Jesus, this man's worthy. Now notice, other people thought he was worthy, but he didn't think himself worthy. So Jesus is told that he's worthy, and they said, "For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." So Jesus agrees to go. He gets near the house. He's not at the house yet. And maybe the guy saw him coming close enough, and he sends servants and says, and his friends go out with a message for Jesus. So his friends carry this message, and they give it to Jesus for the Roman centurion. "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee." Praise God. So here's this man who obviously he's got money and he's got status and power, but he actually truly is humble when it comes to Jesus. He doesn't think himself worthy to go to Jesus. Do you ever wonder why? He knew who Jesus was. He had an understanding just from hearing about Jesus and what he was doing that this is more than a man. This is something from above. So, you know, here he is over 100 soldiers or whatever it was, and he's commanding men. He's under authority. You know, I love when he talks about this. Even though others thought he was worthy, he didn't think himself worthy. There's a manifestation of humility there. See? And I don't think this can be stressed enough. The way up is down, and the way down is up.
Amen.
I don't think we can stress it enough, because this man manifested faith and humility, and God marveled at this man.
Amen.
Marveled because of his faith and humility. You know, I don't think we're going to get anywhere with God without humility.
Amen.
Because every time God manifests himself, it's always in humility.
Amen.
Here on earth, what we're seeing, he's not coming now in his glory. He's coming cloaked and hidden, and he always comes in lowliness and humility. "Come learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart." That's the amazing thing about God. He is so great.
Amen.
Where a lot of men think they're great, but he is great.
Amen.
But he's humble.
Amen.
It's a contradiction. Because in this life, it's hardly ever seen that a man is really great and has power, but has real humility. Usually what we see is when people get greater in status in this world, they get more arrogant because they think they're so great.
Amen. That's right.
But if you're really great, you'd be little in your own eyes.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Help us to be little in our own sight.
Amen.
Because that is greatness. Not to think you're better than everybody else. That's not greatness.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Well, I got to this high position in my company, so I'm really great. And I could be arrogant now. That's not greatness. That doesn't inspire anybody. That's a demotivator. You know what a motivator is? I bet you working under that Roman centurion was motivational. I bet he had the highest performing soldiers. Why? Because he was great, but he was humble.
Amen.
And that is inspiring.
Amen.
I remember just a little story. I was working for this company, and we had this really arrogant president, you know, and it's so demotivating. Even though you don't report directly to him, when he speaks, you just feel like, eh. Do you ever have that? Like, you're just like, oh my gosh, I just can't stand working for this guy because he's so arrogant. And even though you try and do your best for the company, it's always like you feel like you're working for him, and you're like, ugh. Look, he's up. We got to make our goals. And you're like, I could care less if you make your goals. You are so arrogant. And this one president we had at this company, he was married, but he's chasing women, and he was immoral, and he was corrupt. And it's like, oh, what a demotivator. So eventually he got fired, right? And which, no surprise, right? He gets fired because he made bad decisions, and they just got rid of him. And then I'll never forget, they sent this, it was an Englishman that came in, and he became president of the company. So you're wondering, you know, what's this guy going to be like? And he stands up there and he says, "Well, I'm not sure why I'm in this position. I'll do the best I can. You know, I really will do the best I can. Oh my gosh! Can you believe that? That actually was motivational. His de-emphasizing of himself was motivational to the people working for him. And then you wanted to do well because you liked him and you wanted to help him. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So we need to understand that humility is greatness.
Amen.
See, because God is humble, and when he manifested himself, it was in humility. He didn't come as a great king, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He came and was born in a manger. God is so great, he gets lower than we can even imagine.
Amen.
You know, all right, well, you can be born in like a mediocre house. You don't have to be born in a castle. You can be born, or you can be born in a lower, you know, but not too low, you know. And then, you know, don't, you know, not in a cave, not with animals. It stinks in there. God gets so low that we can't get down there. But if you want to find God, get as low as you can in your own sight. And that's what this general manifested, that humility. And I think if we want to get close to God, we need to get away from our arrogance. We need to get away from pride. God hates a proud look. He hates the proud heart. Pride is a spirit. Blinds people. They can't see properly because they're proud. And they don't realize that they're pushing their own opinion on everybody else. That's not humility. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
I always say, you know, some people have an elevated opinion of their own opinion. Did you ever meet that? You know?
Amen.
It's like nobody's opinion matters but theirs, because they're right and obviously you're wrong. You're wrong because you're standing in front of me and I'm right. If there's anybody right in this situation, it's me. Did you ever have that? That's arrogance. That's not humility. That's not the spirit of Christ. Preferring one another, the Bible says.
Amen.
Right? Preferring, putting others first.
Amen.
Self last.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's not popular.
Amen.
It's not popular. It's always looked down upon, but I believe it's God's way.
Amen.
So then we see, let's go back to the centurion. He clearly had the right attitude. Can we say amen?
Amen?
And Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest come enter my roof. Wherefore neither I thought myself to come to thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed.
Amen.
Now let's look at what he's saying. Look at the centurion's complete confidence that all Jesus had to do was say the word.
Amen.
He didn't need Jesus to come to the house. Right? He didn't need that. He didn't need Jesus to lay his hands. I'm watching. I'm making sure he lays hands on. Now, we do know that laying hands is part of the scriptures, but his faith was higher. He didn't need that. Brother Bram said, if you had faith, you wouldn't even need to come in the prayer line. You'd get healed right there.
Hallelujah.
If you had real faith, you wouldn't need me to lay hands on you. You just believe God. That's real faith. Real confidence. No doubt. That's what he said. I believe it.
Hallelujah.
So we need that kind of confidence.
Amen.
So his complete confidence in the word of Jesus. Just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. Didn't need him to come to house. Felt so unworthy, but he says, just speak the word.
Amen.
And it shall be done.
Amen.
Just say the word. I love that.
Hallelujah.
For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers on me, and I say one go, he goeth, unto another come, he cometh, to my servant do this and doeth it. See, he's like, I know what authority is. I'm under authority, and I have men under me, and I say go, and they go, and that's it. I don't have to worry about it. They know I'm in charge, and I say go, and they go. They don't reason with me. They go. Right? In a Roman army, you'd probably get killed if you just didn't do it right away, right? He knew what authority was. He knew how to be under authority. All I have to do is speak, and it happens. And the Roman soldier's like, because I'm in authority. and they're under my authority. Do you realize what the centurion's saying? His reasoning is revealing something about what he believes. Jesus had all authority.
Amen.
Over all sickness and all demons and all that evil.
Amen.
That was a given to him.
Amen.
Jesus' word is over all. You don't need to come to my house. I don't need to come to you. You don't need to lay hands. Just speak a word and my servant shall be healed.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Woo.
Amen.
You know, we say we believe God. This man believed God.
Amen.
This man believed Jesus.
Amen.
I think we need to believe Jesus.
Amen.
Just like this man. Just like this man. Really believe. You know, he's saying, when it comes to authority, I get it. I get authority. I don't think we, and I'm not belittling anybody, but I'm just saying, I don't think we have the understanding of authority that this man had. This man understood authority. He was in a very strict Roman regiment where, you know, he's a centurion. He's over 100 men at least. He had power. And you know, they were a brutal army, right? They crucified men. They ruled over nations. They conquered nations. They understood authority. He understood it. When I'm in charge, those men under me do what I say. And there's people above me, and I do what they say. Because I'm under their authority, and the men under my authority do what I say. So listen, that explains my reasoning. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. You see how he translated that? He translated that natural authority and ranking, and he said, when it comes to Jesus, I heard the stories. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers.
Amen.
This man's got authority.
Amen.
Jesus has authority way above my authority.
Amen.
Do we understand?
Amen.
Jesus has authority.
Amen.
The name of Jesus is powerful.
Amen.
If you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover.
Amen.
In my name, you shall cast out devils.
Amen.
We need to have complete confidence in the word of God.
Amen.
Just like this man had. You want to see results? Don't doubt it. Have no fear, don't doubt, but boldly stand on the word of God.
Amen.
With complete confidence. Now, listen, this man didn't understand how it all works. He didn't even try to understand. He just knew it works. In other words, he didn't know all the details about when Jesus said something that somebody's cleansed. He just believed it.
Amen.
Do we believe it? Do we believe that Jesus has all power and authority? You know, he said it in the Word of God, all power is given unto me.
Amen.
All power is given unto Jesus. Jesus has power. See, the devil is a tool in the hands of God.
Amen.
He allows him a certain amount of power on this earth, but if you read the book of Job, the devil has limits. He can only go so far. You say, well, God wouldn't let the devil go that far. Well, if he's gone that far, he did let the devil go that far. But it's for a purpose. You see, God allowed sin to enter into the world. He could have stopped Adam and Eve. He could have stopped the serpent, right, from deceiving. But he allowed all that for a greater purpose. Do you think God didn't know that they were going to sin? He knew they were going to sin. But see, all things working together for our good. All things are not good. Sin is not good. The results of sin's not good. Listen, we live in a world where evil's manifested all the time. Look at people going around shooting people. That is crazy. That is demon-possessed people, demon-inspired people shooting, taking lives. God wouldn't allow that. Listen, God's allowing it. There's a purpose, though. Does God want that? No. You'll never Did God want 9/11? Did God want all bad things happening in the world? No, he doesn't want that. He allowed sin. See, we should understand more than anybody the destruction of sin. That's why we should run from sin. Because sin destroys. Sin brings pain. Sin brings suffering.
Amen.
We can see the effects in the world, and then you can see the effects in your own life. When we disbelieve the Word of God, and we allow sin in our life, and we allow unbelief, and we feed on the wrong things in this world, what happens? It doesn't bring good. It brings bad. But if we shun the wrong, and we do what the Bible says is right, what a blessing that is.
Amen.
What a blessing. See, I like to say, and it's not meant as a criticism, but serving God's a no-brainer.
Amen.
If you really understand what, you know, the details, if you understand the effects, serving the devil is stupid.
Yes.
The devil's a hard taskmaster.
Amen.
He's going to hurt you when you're not serving him, and then he'll hurt you when you're serving him. He's going to do everything to hurt, to steal, kill, and destroy. Where Jesus has came that we might have life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
But if we disagree with Jesus and we don't follow Jesus and we don't obey Jesus, how can we expect the blessings of Jesus on our life?
Amen.
We can't. We can't. Well, I don't know when the last time I prayed. Well, I haven't read my Bible in a while. And I can't believe my life's a mess.
Amen.
That's delusional, see? If you're really a Christian, it's a life source.
Amen.
Prayer, like Brother Diggs, it's a connection to God. You know, we need that. That's where we draw power and strength.
Amen.
That's where God communicate. We communicate to God, and then he communicates to us.
Amen.
See, in prayer, God can tell us things that we don't see with our natural eye.
Amen.
He can remind us of things. He can show us where we're wrong.
Amen.
See? You know, it's much better if God can show somebody the wrong than for us to point it out to them.
Amen.
See, my prayer lately is, God, show me where I'm wrong and show that person where they're wrong. Show them where they're wrong. I could go and point it out, but they don't believe me. But if God shows somebody, that's different, right? For instance, if someone's not a Christian and we go and we convert them to some philosophy, you know, as a man converts another man to some philosophy, right? Well, then another man could come along and convert him to something else. But if God ever gets a hold of somebody, if you're truly born again of the Spirit of God, nobody can change you. Because God has done a work in your life. And when God does a work, he does a work. He's the author and finisher of our salvation.
Amen.
He comes and baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and fire, and we go out different people.
Amen.
We think different. Our ambitions are different. Our desires are different. Everything's different when Jesus comes.
Amen.
Because there's something inside of us, and we have complete confidence, not in ourselves, but in him.
Amen.
See, I believe when you're born again, there's something natural that happens. It's automatic. You realize you're nothing. And you realize you need God.
Amen.
Every day you need God. I need his word. I'm lost without his word. I don't know what to do without his word. If I don't pray, I don't know what to do. If I pray, he'll show me what to do.
Amen.
The Bible says, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he shall direct your paths.
Amen.
See, that is so true. But what happens when we have a decision to make and we don't even acknowledge him? You know, I was reading there, I was going through Joshua the other day, the whole book of Joshua. I love the book of Joshua.
Amen.
The overcomer taking the land. See, that's different than being saved. When they were saved, God delivered them out of Egypt, right? Salvation is deliverance.
Amen.
But full salvation is not coming out of, it's going into.
Amen.
See, coming out of and going into. And going into the promised land. What is that? That's the land of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And see, when they went into the promised land, it wasn't just easy.
No.
Did they have battles?
Yeah.
Yes. Are we going to have battles? Yes. Their enemies were great and tall. and huge, and they couldn't look at the size of the enemy. They had to trust God, said every place the sole of your foot rests, I've given you that land. They had to believe that. But they were hesitant to take a step because before them is a giant. You got to look at the giant and say, I believe God more than a giant, and step. And who is our greatest giant? Who is our greatest enemy? It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your neighbor. It's not your crazy boss. It's not your fellow workers. It's not your kids. Our greatest enemy is ourself, that flesh man. And sometimes it's a giant. We say, man, how's that going to happen? I believe God can overcome anything.
Amen.
Even me. He can overcome even me. See? So, you know, that kind of faith helps you get up again when you fall. Because you say, all right, I fell because I'm no good, but I believe God can overcome even me. And so you get up again. See, what you don't want to do is think too much of yourself, your great enemy, where you say, God can't overcome that. I'm just no good. I just fall all the time and I just can't. I might as well stay down. Why should I get up? That's the devil.
Amen,
get up because you believe God's greater than your greatest enemy yourself.
Amen.
So you get up again. And you say, Lord, forgive me. Try me one more time.
Amen.
Give me the strength. See, I realize today, no man is going to be an overcomer, a real overcomer, without the grace of God.
Amen.
We are not going to overcome by our own strength. Israel did not go from a nation of slaves to a nation of feared warriors in their own strength. They did that by the grace of God.
Amen.
They didn't overcome the enemy because they were stronger. Remember when Joshua was like, son, stand still. I mean, talk about inspiration. Son, stand. And God threw rocks down from heaven. How many reads the Bible? The Bible said God killed more with the rocks out of heaven than Israel did fighting. Sometimes we think we have to do all the fighting. Listen, when God's on our side, he'll take care of the enemy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
It doesn't matter how many of them are. It doesn't matter how impossible it looks. We need faith like this Roman soldier that God's word is true. I don't need to understand how it works. I don't need to understand how he's going to do it.
Amen.
God's going to do it.
Amen.
He's going to overcome.
Hallelujah. Glory.
All things are possible.
Amen.
Too many times we get stuck in wondering, well, how's he going to do it? That's not even in the equation. That's human understanding, reasoning.
Amen.
That's intellect. Your faith can't operate in that realm. Intellect and knowledge cripples faith, raw faith, because God is unexplainable. We can't understand everything about God. He doesn't want us to try. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm excited today.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That soldier looked at Jesus, must have heard about Jesus, must have heard about the miracles, and he says in his mind, his heart, Jesus is an authority over all sickness and all devils.
Amen.
Tell him to come. Tell him to come. See if you can get him to come. Right? He was a humble man. And Jesus is coming. He says, well, tell him you don't have to come into the house. You don't have to come into the house. You know, I'm not worthy to go even ask him myself, but just tell him, speak the word. Speak the word. Don't you love that?
Amen.
If you study the message of the hour, a prophet of God, he exalted that kind of faith.
Amen.
He said, yeah, we'll pray for sick. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. We believe that. That's in the scriptures. But greater faith, you could sit right there in your seat, just believe God.
Amen.
He exalted that, just trusting, having complete confidence in the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If we could understand the words of Jesus that way, if we could really understand, have that kind of confidence, in the word, I think we'd have the devil on the run.
Amen.
I really think we'd have him on the run instead of us on the run. All right? Let me just read a few scriptures to you. Matthew 10, 8. You believe Jesus?
Amen.
See?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe the days of miracles are past?
No, sir. No way.
That's a lie of the devil.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That scripture became alive in the ministry of Brother Branham, and divine healing was erupted around the world, and that simple thought that Jesus is the Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the modern denominational idea, the intellectual modern idea said, days of miracles, they reasoned it all away. They didn't even expect it. They didn't believe it. They actually criticized people for believing it. Isn't that amazing? People filled with unbelief criticize those with faith. You can expect that. All right? Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick. This is what he told the disciples, and we are his disciples. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. You believe it? Mark 16, let's read that. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, I want you to look at that scripture in verse 17. And these signs, what does the Bible say? Might follow?
No.
That would be an error. To say might follow is an error.
Amen.
Every word is true in the Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And this Bible says shall follow.
Amen.
Are you a believer?
Amen.
These signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
You ought to have the kind of attitude Jesus said they shall follow.
Amen.
Let me stop here for a moment. A story come to mind of a man who was converted in Africa, and I forget his name. I heard the story from Brother Green, and he was a new Christian. He's just reading the Bible, and he's a new Christian, and He said, Jesus, he read in John 14:12, the works that I do shall ye do also. So the new Christian with that new energy and new faith, he goes to his pastor. He says, the Bible says, the works that I do shall ye do also. Jesus raised the dead. Can I raise the dead? And thank God for a good pastor. He said, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So he went around on bicycles in different African cities, and he's, any dead here? Woo!
Amen.
Talk about complete confidence. He was a brother to that Roman soldier.
Amen.
His confidence was the same. He was filled with boldness in the Spirit of God. He went into any dead people. Finally, again, in the city, there's a dead person here. He said, these signs shall follow and I believe. You know, they laugh and the scorn, and the dead was raised.
Amen.
Why? Because he's better? No, because he had faith. Amen. And God honors faith.
Hallelujah.
Then they went to other cities, and it happened in different places. And then there became a whole big movement behind this thing.
Amen.
Why? How does it start? Raw faith. Somebody with bare hands that takes the word of God and says, I believe the word of God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who laughs at me. I believe God's word.
Amen.
We got to have that kind of faith. We have that kind of boldness. Take the word of God with a complete confidence and just apply the word of God.
Amen.
These signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
What did he say? He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God.
Amen.
Boldness. Where's the boldness with that? See, too many times people are timid with the word of God and they're backing down. They're shying away. They're like, I don't know about that. We need complete confidence in the word of God. That's what the word says. I believe it.
Amen.
And be willing to step out on the word of God. Step out. Sickness comes into your home. Don't be backpedaling. Say, oh, that looks bad. Oh, I'm catching a cold. No, we're not catching a cold.
Hey.
We're getting rid of a cold.
Hallelujah.
But it just started. I don't care if it just started. You're getting rid of it.
Amen.
And then you get your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
Get out of me, devil.
Amen.
I know it looks silly, but
it
works.
Amen.
Someone in your home, little ones. Hey, come here. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil.
Amen.
We're going to kick the devil out of our home.
Amen.
And you get around, you pray with authority because God gave you authority.
Amen.
That's the secret. Do you realize God gave you authority? He gave you His word that you could do this.
Hallelujah.
But if you don't believe it, then you can't.
Amen.
But if you believe it with complete confidence,
amen,
then you can.
Amen.
Oh, but it's a dark world. That has nothing to do with it. Oh, but I haven't seen it. I don't care.
Amen.
Don't look at the circumstances. When they went into the promised land, the two that made it out of 2 million didn't look at the giant. They looked at the promise.
Amen.
What did Tim sing today? Standing on the promises.
Amen.
The promises of God.
Amen.
The Bible says, by these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature.
Hallelujah.
What do you mean by these promises? By believing those promises with all of your heart, with complete confidence, and acting on them. That's how we walk in faith. We walk by sight? No. We walk not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Is that what the Bible says?
Amen.
Praise the living
Lord. So stop walking by sight.
Yes, sir.
Stop it. Stop looking at the way things are. What do you, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, what do you want it to be? You say what you want it to be.
Amen.
Say, do I have the authority for that? Yes, you do.
Amen.
Let's look at Luke 10, 18. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. Jesus said this now. Jesus said this not just to them, but to every believer. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Yeah, I heard a little testimony the other day, and I forget where I heard it. It was like a news outlet or something, where this guy came into a store and he was going to rob the store. And she says, in Jesus' name, get out of the store.
Amen.
And the guy turned around and ran away.
Amen.
And she's like a little old lady.
Amen.
She had complete confidence in the word of God.
Amen.
There's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
See, what are you going to do when you're in that situation? Are you going to crumble under unbelief? Or are you going to speak the name of God?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I believe it. Jesus said, I gave you power.
Amen.
Over all the power of the enemy.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Really? Y'all have power, right?
Amen, bro.
Jesus said it.
Amen.
See, the battle is, do you believe this word applies to you?
Amen.
That's the battle. Greatest battle ever fought. Devil said, not you, that's for other people, that's not for you. See, when you believe it applies to you, you're a different kind of person. It comes down to this challenge. Are you a believer?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm a believer, but I'm filled with faults. You know, I mess up all the time. Listen, that's not what I asked you. Are you a believer? Sometimes the reverse helps. What if some stranger comes up to you and says, you're not a believer? Whoa, that's different. Wait a minute, I do believe. I was born again. Almost you come and need that kind of. Because the devil just reasons in your mind to get you to reason away all that faith. But he doesn't come right out and challenge you like that. Not in person, right? But if some stranger comes up to you and says, you're not a believer. Well, all of a sudden, all that would come and say, yes, I am a believer. And you'd realize, I do believe.
Amen.
We need to be put in a corner and decide, are we believers or not? And sometimes what has to get shattered is this image that we create of this perfect person that we're not.
Amen.
Amen.
Say, well, I'm not this perfect thing, so I have all this doubt.
Amen.
Listen, you're a believer or not, you're never going to perfect your flesh. Sorry. Never. That sacrifice is there so that if you fail, he paid the price. And if you confess your sin, he's faithful to forgive you of your sin.
Amen.
Not because you want to sin. Believers don't want to sin. It's our flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh because the flesh is and it wars against the spirit.
Amen.
Why? Because we were born of sexual act.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be a supernatural birth, like the second birth is supernatural. So people with the second birth, now they have a spirit to fight against that first birth flesh man. You understand? But they're never going to be at peace with one another while we're in this body. We're at war. We need to understand that.
Amen.
You're not perfected by your flesh. You're perfected by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Faith in what he did perfects us.
Amen.
And actually, we become as righteous as God through faith in Calvary.
Hallelujah.
So the right kind of faith is not looking at your works, but looks at your faith. God doesn't look at your works to save you. He looks at your faith. But the devil always points us to our failures and our works, because that's where, if we focus on that, we're going to have doubts. But if you look at your faith and what the Word of God said, I am as righteous as God. Okay, you're going to be humble about it, but it's true. You're going to have boldness in the face of the enemy, because it's not dependent on my works. Too many people come to communion about their works. It's about your faith in what he did. We're not worthy because of our works.
Amen. Help me, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Mark 11. Speak it. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Not in man, but in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And then he says, forgive, because, listen, if you can't forgive, forget it. You can't. It's a non-starter with God. We got to forgive everybody, everything they've done. Let's just say you're able to forgive. Praise God. We're able to forgive everybody, everything they've ever done. We get the bitterness out of our heart. I forgive. So then when you're praying, speak. This is what Brother Diggs was saying to us.
Amen.
Speak what you want it to be. Listen, even carnal people apply this, and they're like, that Cadillac is mine. And they keep saying it. That Cadillac is mine. That Cadillac is mine. I'm getting that Cadillac. And they get this stupid Cadillac. Now, I'm not saying do that, because that's just carnality. But I'm saying, if you're in the Spirit, and really what you say, you want to see Christ having preeminence in your life.
Amen.
I would say the Holy Spirit would agree with that one.
Amen.
Right? You want to overcome sin in your life.
Amen.
You got a problem in the flesh, and you believe God can overcome that. You speak to that thing.
Amen.
You say what you want it to be.
Amen.
You speak it. You got unbelievers in your family. You speak to that situation.
Amen.
Listen, you don't have to say it to them. Just say it out loud. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it.
Hallelujah.
Say, well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Some of you know what I've been through. My wife said she's not a believer. And I remember walking around going, yeah, my wife's an unbeliever. Yeah. Woe is me. Until one day, the Lord got a hold of me. And I heard a sermon like that, speak what you want it to be. And I remember it affected me in a way where I realized I was saying the wrong thing. When I said my wife's an unbeliever, I was actually speaking something wrong. Because if I look at it from God's view, from eternity, if they were ever going to be a believer, they were always a believer.
Amen.
They just don't know it yet.
Amen.
They just don't know it yet. So I started to say it. And I remember the next Sunday, I went out to Brother Sanger's church. And I wasn't preaching or anything, but I had a revelation in my heart. I was saying it. And it feels awkward to say something that isn't visible. It feels awkward in the flesh to speak something that looks untrue to everybody.
Amen.
I remember I spoke to my dad, and he had that Catholic spirit on him. And he's like, I said, Maureen's a believer. She's going to change. He goes, she's never going to change. I'm like, woo!
Amen.
That wasn't the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But it stirred up the devil, so I knew I was on the right track.
Amen.
My wife's a believer. My wife's a believer. I went out to Brother Sanger's church that Sunday, and he'd come out, and he's greeting us, and he came up to me after service, and God bless you. I said, my wife's a believer.
Amen.
He goes, praise God, brother. I said, she don't know it yet, but she's a believer.
Amen.
That's a revelation.
Amen.
Now, here's the secret. When I started saying it, then I started to believe it.
Amen.
I thought I did.
Hallelujah.
But really, my words were reflecting what I believed. My wife's an unbeliever. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Jesus said, out of the mouth comes what's in your heart. So I started to say it by faith. And then as I started to say it, he actually gave me real faith to believe what I was saying. And that actually affected the way I treated her. In other words, I didn't realize I was treating her like I was treating an unbeliever. So don't tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Because it wasn't when I was perfected. No, I wasn't perfect, but she had her own experience. Praise God.
Amen.
3 years after, and I call that my 3 years on the backside of the desert. She's up at the woman's retreat this weekend. That's why she's not here today. But the devil has tried to destroy Maureen and I's marriage many times. And listen, if you're having trouble in your marriage, it's not your spouse. It's the devil.
Amen.
And we need to understand that. Because we're all imperfect.
Amen.
Okay, the perfect person, please stand up. We'd like to meet you. There's only one perfect person that ever lived, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And everyone else, including all the prophets and all the disciples and everything, are imperfect, flawed people.
Amen.
And this might be a revelation to some, but we're not perfect.
Amen.
So don't approach a relationship like, I'm the perfect one and you're the bad one. No. We're all flawed people. So if you focus on the negative side, that's all you're going to see. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, we'll start to look for positive things. You'll find something positive in everybody. See? Even somebody that's wrong a lot, sometimes they don't want to be wrong. But they're stuck and they're trapped by the devil and they're deceived by the devil, see? An evil spirit. Someone who's addicted to drugs, someone who's in prostitution. Do you think anybody wants to be addicted to drugs or anybody wants to be a prostitute? That's the devil that did that. And yet we label the person and look down on the person. Jesus didn't do that. Right? What did he do to the woman caught in adultery that was brought before him? What did he do? He had mercy. He showed her love and kindness. Well, what do we do? Help us, Lord.
Amen.
I don't want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus. What am I saying? Speak what you want it to be.
Amen.
If you got a situation in your life, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a natural physical thing, if it's a spiritual problem, if it's a financial need. I don't care what it is because it doesn't matter. You speak. The word God here says, if you say it in faith, it's going to happen.
Amen.
You got any mountains? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And He will do what no other power can do.
Amen.
The more impossible, the better off it is.
Hallelujah.
See, because if it's only a little bit not possible, then we start with that human reasoning and manipulation, and then we think we can fix something. But when it's really impossible, that's when we let go and we let God. We're like, God, you got to take this one. You know, why don't we give Him all of them? And give Him the glory. What is the Holy Ghost experience? That is entering into His rest. In other words, we rest from our works like God did it on the seventh day. So when we enter into the real Sabbath, the real rest, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our soul, we watch Jesus do things. We're not doing it anymore. We watch Him. Praise God.
Amen.
I know some of you experience what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost moves in our life and uses us without us. It's like we're detached a little bit. He does it. And then He gets all the glory for that.
Amen.
Listen, if you fix yourself, I had a really good friend growing up. His name was Jimmy Stepnick. And he was like my best friend. And I remember I became converted. And he's like, he couldn't understand. I was like, this is real. This is God. I did everything I could to explain. He's like, I don't get it, you know. Well, at the same time, he got caught drinking, came out of a bar. And the cop pulled him over, right? And he, you know, got in trouble. So he fixed it. He didn't drink no more. I don't drink no more. But he fixed it. So it was an area of pride for him. We need God to fix us.
Amen.
See, when God fixes it, He gets all the glory.
Amen.
But if we do it, that's an area of pride in our life. I did it. I did it. You know, I did it. I'm so great because I did it. No, we're not great. We got to become little in our sight. We got to get to the place where we realize we can't do it. And some people get there and they feel like they're never going to get out of that. It's actually a wonderful thing if you get to the place where you realize, I'm helpless. I can't fix this. Praise God, you got there.
Amen.
Now, don't give up there. That's when you go to Him and you say, I can't do it. He goes, finally, all right, I'll step in now. And then you watch Him do it. You watch Him do it. I don't care what the need is. It doesn't matter what the need. See, simple faith. Don't try and understand the solution. You don't need to understand. Just speak the word. And my servant will be healed. Just complete confidence in God. And whatever you say in prayer, and you have faith without doubt, Lord, I give you this situation, please. Thank you for meeting this need. I give you this unsaved loved one. I give them to you, and I'm not going to put my hands on it no more. I can't fix them. I can't change them. I give it to you. And the problem is we give it to Jesus, and I say, all right, take me back. It's taking you too long. I'll do it now. Terrible. That's terrible. It's actually a manifestation of unbelief. We don't like to say that, but it actually is. Because when you give it to Him and you completely trust Him, there's no time limits now. He's in His own time. And I think a lot of the times, we don't like to take our hands off. And so God's waiting for us to really trust Him. All right, when you're finished, let me know. When you're done doing your thing, come on back. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. speak and go forward. Remember what the word said? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you.
Hallelujah.
Every place.
Amen.
In faith, no doubt, I speak. See, if you're struggling with a prayer life, God gave me a good prayer life.
Amen.
Speak it.
Amen.
God gave me a burning desire for His Word. Thank you, Lord, for restoring the joy of my salvation.
Amen.
Thank you for making me a prayer warrior.
Amen.
Thank you for making me a lover of the Scripture.
Amen.
That's not in vain. When you speak in faith, see, God goes supernaturally interceding based on what we say. He's a high priest that makes intercession based on our profession.
Amen.
He can't do anything for us until we first confess that He's already done it. And we start praising Him and thanking Him for it before it happens.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I love what Brother Branham said, that the atmosphere brings the results. He said they were in the upper room and they were praising God for the Holy Ghost that hadn't come yet.
Amen.
What do you mean they're praising God for the Holy Ghost that hadn't come yet? See, He promised them the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Go ye therefore, wait until. So they had the word. Power from on high is coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Has He promised you the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The gift of the Holy Ghost. You don't earn the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Ghost. You thank Him for the promise.
Amen.
And when our faith is right, He'll seal us with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what He does. It's not something we earn. It's something we receive from Him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. He said they were in the upper room thanking God, praising God for the Holy Ghost that hadn't come yet, but they had the promise, so it's just like they had it. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. And then, while they're praising God, they were creating an atmosphere for the Holy Ghost to come. Woo!
Hey.
See, there's the key. When you believe it so much that you speak it and you're expecting it, that creates the atmosphere for it to happen.
Amen.
Praise God, I can see. Oh, hush up, blind man. Praise God, I can see. Oh, what a wacko. Praise God, I can see. You're disturbing the service. Praise God, I can see.
Amen.
The service ended and you still can't see. Praise God, I can see.
Amen.
No time limits.
Amen.
Sitting in the barber chair. I understand you were down at those meetings and you can see now. Praise God, I can see.
Amen.
Eyes come open.
Amen.
Run down the street.
Amen.
Speak what you want it to be.
Amen.
Say with your mouth. Say it with your mouth. Do you realize there's power of life and death in the tongue? Speak life to your life.
Amen.
Speak an abundant life.
Amen.
Speak an overcoming life.
Amen.
Speak a life that overcomes sin.
Amen.
Speak a life that's pleasing to God. Say it.
Amen.
Say what you want it to be.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You ask me why I'm happy.
Amen.
So I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffer who asks me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
How many people here believe that God has a sea of forgetfulness?
Amen.
I do.
Oh, yes, He does. Amen, brother.
I do. And we learned that lesson in Brother Branham's ministry because he had discernment and he people come up with their prayer line. He says, listen, if you have sin, confess it back there and confess it to God, because if it comes up here, don't blame me if He exposes it. Because he could discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And sin was exposed at the platform. And he didn't want to embarrass people, but you know, they should never come up in the prayer line with sin, right?
True.
So Brother Green, our friend, asked Brother Branham, he said, how do you know whether something's under the blood? Because he would say, put it under the blood. He's talking to the congregation, put it under the blood. Brother Green says, how do you know if somebody put it under the blood. And then Brother Branham said to Brother Green, well, that's easy, Brother Green. And Brother Green was a little offended. Like, he's like, well, if it was easy, why didn't I know it? You know, like, I'm asking you. I feel stupid now that it's easy, right? So Brother Branham said, that's easy. See, if it's under the blood, he can't show it to me because he don't remember it no more.
Amen.
Woo! So when they come up and then I see it, I know that God still sees it, so they didn't confess their sin. They didn't repent of their sin. Oh, aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
Oh, the greatest thing you can do is make an appointment with God.
Amen.
And sit down and say, Lord, show me where I'm wrong. Amen. And then every time he shows you wrong, confess it. Lord, forgive me. I was wrong there. I said the wrong thing. Lord, I had a wrong thought. Lord, I didn't treat that person right. Lord, and you speak out your sin. Write them down, speak them out, confess it. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be like that. Lord, and you put it under the blood. Oh, talk about free.
Amen.
Thank God. I am free, free, free from this world of sin.
Amen.
You know, when people get free from sin, they're happy.
Amen.
When people are all bogged down with sin, they're like, sin's got me down. I love being a Christian. Come on now. You got sin bogging you down. Confess your sin and he's faithful to forgive you of your sin. Don't carry it around. He died on the cross so you wouldn't have to carry it around. The devil's lying to you. Telling you you have to carry that around. No. You can put that down at the cross. Confess your sin and then believe with complete confidence he forgave you. Some people carry sin for years. That they confess to God. It's like that song. You ever hear that song, What Sin? It's a beautiful song because the guy, he did something wrong and he confessed it to God. And then he goes back to God and he confesses again. And God says, what sin?
Amen.
That's in the sea of forgetfulness. See, you can actually manifest unbelief in that way where you keep confessing the same sin over and over again. And God doesn't know what you're talking about, but you're grieving the Holy Ghost away from you. You've got to believe he forgave you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm taking too long, ain't I? That's a yes. All right. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let me finish up here. You know, the word says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. See, that's Joshua in your life. He won't fail. Yield to Joshua. Don't yield to the devil. When everything looked like Israel was defeated, the Egyptian army coming, they're trapped by the Red Sea. Remember, don't look at the circumstances. And they're saying, oh, weren't there graves in Egypt? Why'd you bring us out here to die? Moses says, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. But look at the circumstances. They had the weapons, they had the chariots, they had the horses. There's the Red Sea. They're like, ah, we're going to die. Don't trust the circumstances.
Amen.
Trust God.
Amen.
Speak the word. And then God said to Moses, he said, the Lord shall fight for you. And, oh, I like this. And ye shall hold your peace. Don't speak unbelief. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Speak and go forward. Take that with today. Speak and go forward. Walk in the land of the Holy Ghost. See? Too many times we get to complaining. We use our words the wrong way. Don't talk what you see. Speak what you want it to be. See? Now, we got to get to Jericho. Can we finish Jericho?
Amen.
All right. So, Joshua today is not a man. He's the Holy Ghost in your life. And the people of Israel had to have complete confidence in Joshua. You know the story. He told them, verse 10, Joshua 6:10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. On the day I shall bid you shout, then you shall shout. Can you imagine all those people? Can you imagine those people? He just told us to walk around the city in complete silence. walking around the city, and nobody's saying nothing. It had to be a little unnerving for the people in Jericho, right? Look at those, just walking around. You know, you can't hardly get people to shut up today. And yet they didn't say a word. And then they go back to the camp and they do it 6 days, they do it. Just what I want you to catch is the complete confidence they had that Joshua was doing the right thing. And on the seventh day, all right, we're going to go around seven times now. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And then the trumpets. And then they shouted and the walls came down. Now, did the walls come down because they shouted? The walls came down because God took the walls down. And Rahab lived on the wall. So when it came down, it was all down except for one little part.
Amen.
With that crimson ribbon down there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I see a crimson stream of blood.
Amen.
Oh, if we knew the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You finish reading the story for homework today. Joshua, you know the story. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. Let's all stand. Speak and go forward. Complete confidence in God.
Amen.
You believe God today?
Amen.
Sorry to keep you so long. Let's bow our heads to Him this afternoon here. Dear Father, Lord, we stand here unworthy and unprofitable servants, Lord. There's nothing good in us. Only what You can do. Only what You have done, only what You will do, Lord. Lord, when we get to the other side by the grace of God, our testimony will be amazing grace. Our testimony will be, Lord, it wasn't us. It was Joshua. It was Jesus, Christ in us that overcame. Lord, I thank You for Your mercy. Lord, I realize now more than ever, if I get what I deserve, I'm going to hell, Lord. I realize, Lord, that it's only by grace that we can be saved. But Lord, I also realize You didn't save us just to put us on a shelf. You want us to apply our faith to those around us. You want us to speak and go forward. You want us to occupy till You come. Lord, make us overcomers. Take, like You did Israel, a nation of slaves, and made them a nation of feared warriors. May You take us, Lord, unworthy, unprofitable servants, and make us into real Christians feared by the devil. I thank You for doing it, Lord. Lord, whatever the people have need of today, we give it to them in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank You for meeting all their needs, physical, financial, spiritual. I thank You for casting out devils even in the service today. You cast them out by Your word. Oh Lord, we thank You for that Roman soldier. May we have complete confidence like he did, Lord. Oh God, make us what You want us to be. We know that cannot be without the Holy Ghost. It cannot be unless we're solemnly trusting in the shed blood of Calvary. Cannot be without that real baptism of the Holy Ghost. Grant it to us, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit. Cast away all evil spirits. Cast away all unbelief. I rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose your hands on these people. Be gone right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thou spirit of fear and unbelief and depression and confusion. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Go back to where you come from.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we ask. It was amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It was amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. But now I see.
Amen.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears just in that grace appear the hour my first be. Oh my, through many dangers, yes, through many tolls and snares I have already come, 'tis great hath brought me safe thus far. We've been there, oh my, just think of it. Oh, and we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. To sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let's sing praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Worthy are you, Lord. Praise God. 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 Praise God.